from KQED.
Welcome back to Forum. I'm Dave Iverson. Somehow this quote now seems particularly appropriate this morning. If a meteor ever smashes into the Earth, leaving the planet a lifeless wreck, writes Jordan Weissman in this week's Atlantic, there will still be two economists arguing about whether the minimum wage laws kill jobs. President Obama's State of the Union message wasn't exactly apocalyptic, but it did serve to reignite this very old debate over the minimum wage. The president wants to bump the minimum wage from $7.25 an hour to $9 an hour by the end of 2015. And here in California, where the minimum wage is already a dollar higher than the national standard, state lawmakers are also debating a measure which would boost the state's minimum wage still higher. So in this second half of our Forum Hour this morning, we take up the question of raising the minimum wage, what it would do for workers potentially, what it would mean for employers potentially as well. Joining us, John Kabatek. He is the California Executive Director of the National Federation of Independent Business. John, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us. And Sylvia Allegretto joins us as well. She is a labor economist with the Institute for Research on Labor and Employment at the University of California, Berkeley. Sylvia Allegretto, thanks for being with us as well.
Well, you're welcome. Good to join you.
Thank you. So this is, Sylvia Allegretto, a perennial debate about this question of whether or not is it good for workers? Does it help lift workers out of poverty? Or does it have a converse effect? And that is to say, to kill jobs and therefore hurt the very people it's supposed to help. For a long time, as I understand it, the sort of consensus view among economists was that it was a bit of a job killer. You now argue, though, that consensus view is incorrect. Tell us from your research point of view why you think the minimum wage isn't a job killer.
Well, we have a whole body of research here that we've done at the Institute that shows when we analyze the minimum wage changes over the last several decades that we've actually found that the models that used to be used were not quite right, if you will. And we've improved upon those techniques and show that actually those very small, by the way, negative employment effects that used to be found this don't materialize when you take into consideration, where these minimum wages are changing, and you don't get this spurious effect. Because remember, things are changing in the economy over a 20-year period as these minimum wages are changing, such as population shifts. And these population shifts, for instance, to warm weather states, don't have anything to do with the minimum wages. But the states that change their minimum wages are correlated with some of these shifts. So you can imagine picking up a spurious effect. So we've improved on some of the modeling and show that the negative employment effects don't materialize. And so it's important to move beyond that discussion to talk about that, yes, increases in minimum wages decrease poverty. It helps to mitigate some of the massive inequality that has transpired over the last 30 years. And, these workers haven't gotten a raise for decades because the minimum wage in California and in the U.S. is below levels that it was in the 1960s. I mean, it should be $9 or $10 an hour, depending on what inflation measure you use, if we just kept things even. And I would argue that even just keeping the minimum wage even from what it was decades ago isn't correct either, because over this period of time, you've had, for instance, the economy has grown substantially. The economic pie is bigger now, but our lowest wage workers aren't getting a fair share of that increasing pie. And this is, the top 1%. Their incomes over the last several decades are up over 300%.
Let me hold you there, if I might, and get John Kabatek's response. First, on the last point that Sylvia Allegretto, and then we'll come back to the job question, which I know is so central to your point of view. But on this question of raising people out of poverty, the president in his State of the Union message said that no one who works full-time should have to live in poverty. By that, he meant that if you're working full-time on a minimum wage, all you're guaranteed really is living below the poverty line. So respond to that part of it first, and then we'll get to your concerns about the jobs question.
Are you asking me?
Yes, John. Sorry.
Go ahead. Sorry about that. Yeah. Well, I think the first thing that we've found is that what we're finding right now, not just in California, but across the nation, is You know, the first thing that is going to get Americans out of poverty is to get them jobs and to have businesses, more small businesses, creating jobs. I think one of the things we're finding right now is that so many small businesses are uncertain. They're either being forced to lay people off, pare back benefits, and as a result, we're not creating enough jobs on Main Street or in the workforce for people to actually be able to get jobs and get out of poverty. The solution is not a temporary wage. And I think it's important to point out, a minimum wage, studies have found, is actually something that most minimum wage earners aren't in poverty, and it's a temporary wage mostly for college graduates. But again, the big thing we've pointed out is small businesses are uncertain right now. The minimum wage increase sounds like feel-good policy. At the end of the day, it's a classic example of, as you were stating, economists have noted as well, it's the law of unintended consequences. The very individuals that it intends to help, low-wage, entry-level working Californians, are the ones who are going to be the most hurt because small business owners don't have any more wiggle room to be able to do anything.
When you say, John, that your colleagues in the small business world are concerned about uncertainty, that sounds like all the things that we've been debating about in recent months in this country, the fiscal cliff, the concern over sequestration, possibility of additional tax hikes, all of those kinds of things. So is it that that's troubling business people, or is it really something like the minimum wage?
Well, I will say that, frankly, the fact that we saw this meteorite coming out of the sky, you're right, is very apt in terms of this discussion, because that's how a small business owner is feeling right now as they're looking ahead at the landscape of the uncertainty. We've got coming out of the sky, we've got unanticipated health care costs, we've got in California, $50 billion in new taxes, mostly hitting small businesses, and we've got just other unanticipated costs. The bottom line is you raise the price of unemployment, guess what happens? Not just in California, but across the nation, you get less of it.
That's
so,
simply
okay.
not true.
So,
that's
Sylvia Allegretto, let's just stay on one point at a time,
yeah.
if we can, on this key question, which is if employers have to pay their workers more, they're going to be discouraged from hiring workers. Your response?
Well, first, I mean, I have to respond to the small business problem. Businesses are having problems now because of lack of customers. That's their number one complaint. And if they had more customers, they'd be doing much better. So it doesn't have to do with their low-wage workers. Of all the problems in the economy, that low-wage workers are paid too much simply isn't one of them. And the problem with health care, I would agree with John. That's why we need to take health care out of the hands of businesses and have universal health care. And the fact is, most small businesses don't actually offer their workers health care. So that's usually not a big problem for them. But, you know, this is the problem. When he's talking about that you increase the price for something, you decrease the demand, you have to have a lot of assumptions that are holding for that to be true. You have to be in the very competitive market, a very competitive market. And that's why you don't see that happening, the declines in employment when you increase the minimum wage, because we're simply not in a competitive realm here. Minimum wages are far too low, and the businesses that are paying them have far too much power in the labor market, so they can set them lower.
But what about Sylvia Allegretto, John's point that right now businesses are dealing with a lot of uncertainty, a lot of change,
mm-hmm.
and there are many economists who feel that while boosting the minimum wage might not have huge effects one way or the other, this isn't the best time to do it because the recovery is so fragile that anything that adds one more degree of uncertainty to small mm-hmm. businesses, the time is not right to make this particular move.
Again, I would say a few things. One thing is that the time is never right for these folks to have an increase. You never have the business community stepping forward and saying, hey, let's increase minimum wages because I'm making so much money. And the fact is right now, corporate profits and the share of national income going to corporate profits is the highest ever on record. The share going to workers is the lowest. So this could arguably be said to be one of the most important times. So when we get into this recovery, which we are in finally get into economic recovery, that we have a recovery that's more broad-based, that we have a recovery that's more stable, that extremely productive workers, don't forget, over the last few decades, productivity has gone through the roof for our workers. We have some of the best workers in the world here. They're just simply not asked to be, you know, come to the party when the economy starts expanding.
So, John, to come back on that point about this question of that, and we have, and those statistics are clear, I think, that a higher percentage of money now goes to the upper few percent than ever before. So on this question of that income gap and on income inequality, wouldn't raising the minimum wage at least make a small dent in that in a way that is true to what we think of as being the kind of American middle-class spirit?
Well, no, it would not. It actually is the opposite of the American dream because it is actually having the ill effect on small business owners' employees. And I love the way that proponents of minimum wage, including Sylvia, often use the word corporate profits and corporations. Well, you don't hear big corporations kicking and screaming about minimum wage hikes because most minimum wage jobs are offered by 99.2% of the business community, small business owners. That's why we stand up, because our members, NFIB members, are service, retail, restaurants, who really, again, have little left to contend with in terms of what's in their cash register, but they're the ones it's terribly imbalanced against because they're the ones who end up paying the highest in taxes, highest in regulations. And let's look at California. We got the highest sales income tax. We have the highest third of property taxes. More than 2 million are unemployed in our state. And our minimum wage is already in the top 19 of states higher than the federal.
Well,
level.
We actually don't have the highest when it comes to property taxes.
No,
for
I
example.
Said the highest third. We're in the highest third.
Yeah, you can bring in all kinds of problems with the economy, but let's just stay on point here. And again, the biggest problem with small business today, and I don't know where you're getting numbers, but small businesses, most people work in large corporations. And large corporations such as Walmart do pay a lot of their workers around the minimum wage or close to it, so they would get a bump also. But again, the biggest problem in our economy right now is lack of demand, not because low-wage workers are paid too much. And matter of fact, in the long run and today, one of the problems is that low-wage workers are paid too little.
I understand your point, Sylvia, about you know, large corporations, some of them like Walmart might pay at minimum wage, but John's organization represents small businesses. So
he said something like 99% of minimum wage workers or something are in small businesses, and that just isn't correct. It's a large problem throughout the economy, you know, and that low-wage workers are paid too
but,
much.
But speak to John's constituency for a moment about let's just stay with small business for a moment. If you are running a small business and you have a dozen employees, and your margins are really slim, why wouldn't that make a difference in a negative way to that small business person to hire if he or she feels like they're going to have to bump up those salaries?
Well, we've shown in our research that there is room to move there. That doesn't mean that there might not be some, one small business here or there that might struggle and might have to cut hours of their workers a few hours here and there. But I would argue, even if that happens, workers are better off.
Yeah.
Workers
yeah.
are better off if they lose a few hours per month at a much higher wage. That would still work out. Small businesses, they need help. And I think that, for instance, we have to talk about job quality. Small businesses don't provide very good jobs, unfortunately. They usually don't have sick pay. They don't have health care. They don't have vacation pay. So this is a conversation around low-wage work in general in this country that is not very good. And so what happens is when you pay workers such a low wage, they have to depend on government handouts. They become a burden to taxpayers. So taxpayers, in effect, then subsidize the profits of firms that are using low-wage work.
Let me hold you just for a moment and invite our callers to join our conversation at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Your views, thoughts on the minimum wage, particularly if you're a small business person, if you're an employer, how does this prospect affect you? What does it mean to you? Is it something that you would like to do in terms of giving employees higher salaries, or is it something that would make you less inclined to increase your payroll? And similarly, if you're working in a low-wage job right now and struggling to make ends meet, what kind of difference would boosting the minimum wage mean to you? We'd love to hear your point of view at 866-733-6786, 866-733-6786. Email us at forum at kqed.org. John, I need to give you a chance to respond to Sylvia's point about jobs for small businesses not always being great jobs in terms of whether they don't pay that much, whether they provide benefits. I'd like to hear your response on that point.
Well, I think there is, and this is a similar discussion we have when we talk about another issue important. I know that affects small businesses' bottom line, and that's a paid sick leave, probably for another discussion. But I think there's a misperception quite often amongst minimum wage proponents. Again, probably with the best intentions, they want to help others. But there's this perception that a small business owner can wave a magic wand and magically, in this economy, that a California small business owner can just make money appear that they can give to their employees. And you have to understand, raising the cost of labor actually raises the incentive for employers to find ways to use less. I mean, these folks right now are dealing with scores of regulations, many of them hit with frivolous lawsuits, many of them the fear of lawsuits, but then also in an economy when we are the highest tax state in the nation, they are uncertain, they have less to deal with than a big corporation. And at the same time, there's this perception that most of our job creators can magically produce this funnel of money. I think many of them are making a good faith effort to try and employ people and certainly get people to come in at good paying jobs. They don't have any money left in the till. There's a perception that they ought to do their fair share. They don't have it.
John Kubitek is the California Executive Director of the National Federation of Independent Business. Sylvia Allegretto joins us as well. She's a labor economist at the Institute for Research on Labor and Employment at UC Berkeley. We welcome your calls on this topic as well at 866-733-6786. I'll let you get your point in just a second, yeah. Sylvia, but I want to get our callers engaged in our conversation as well. And let's hear from a caller first, and then I'll get back to you, Sylvia. Nancy in Berkeley joins us first. Hi. Nancy, go ahead.
I had a small women's retail clothing store, and I closed it 8 years ago. 8 years ago, I was paying my workers $13 an hour. I couldn't pay them health care, but I did give them vacation pay. And I have 2 points. Number one, if you can't afford to pay your workers a good wage, you shouldn't be in business. And if you don't pay your workers enough money, then they can't shop, and that's the problem. There aren't enough shoppers because these poor workers don't make enough money. And I think it's absolutely ludicrous to say they raise the minimum wage to $9, which is not nearly enough. It's going to be a burden.
So, Nancy, you didn't close your shop because of having to pay too much?
I closed my shop because I was exhausted.
Okay. All right. Okay. Nancy, thanks for the
sure.
comment and
Absolutely.
The point. And Sylvia Allegretto, why don't you join in on that then?
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate it. We there's a lot of small businesses that have signed on to raising the minimum wage. So there are a lot of folks that feel like our caller. But going back to John's point, this idea that somehow businesses are hiring labor beyond what they need. And then if you increase the minimum wage, they're going to let some of those workers go. You know, firms, by definition, they're not job creators. They have to hire people to work, but they don't do it out of the goodness of their heart. So this idea that you increase the minimum wage and they're going to have to let a bunch of people go and they don't really want to do that, if they can get away with not having a certain amount of workers, they do that. They're usually right now down to the bones. That's the way businesses operate. They don't just hire people out of the goodness of their hearts.
Let's hear another view now from Eric in San Francisco from another small business point of view. Eric, go ahead, please.
Yes, good morning. My brother owns a restaurant in San Francisco, a fairly successful restaurant. And, you know, he's owned it for 16 years now, and he really works very hard to manage the restaurant and keep it successful. And, you know, I talk to him sometimes about how he's doing, is he happy, and the reality is that his biggest burden is dealing with the employees, regulations, increasing minimum wage, workers' compensation. I mean, his profits to him keep going down and down and down, even though the restaurant is stable to making more money. I think people that talk about minimum wage on the other side should own a business before they can come out there and start to talk about what its effect is on small businesses.
Eric,
if somebody hasn't owned a business, they shouldn't be talking about that.
Okay, Eric, thanks for the point. And that brings us actually to the question of San Francisco. And I'm interested in both your views on what we've learned from that, because San Francisco has the highest minimum wage law in the country, now up to $10.55 an hour, which, of course, is not something you could necessarily live on in the city of San Francisco. But what have we learned from that? Briefly from each of you, have we after all, John, unemployment in San Francisco is 6.5%, much lower than the statewide average. So you could make the argument that at least in San Francisco, that having that sort of law has not been a detriment to employment at all.
Well, I think that would be a patently false argument, or to drive people to believe that a higher minimum wage is actually leading to lower unemployment rates. Eric is dead on. He's one of many of our members that we've talked to, be it in San Francisco, and even those who are concerned now in San Jose about the minimum wage increase. And I will say that one of the things we're finding is it's not just the minimum wage alone. It is the death by a thousand cuts a small business is feeling. It is the overregulation. It is the additional taxes coming their way. It is a health care law with a million question marks. A small business owner right now, you know, I think the one thing that Sylvia pointed out is, a small business owner can just make do and they can do just fine with a few employees. I don't think that's the California or the American dream. I think a small business should be inspired to grow and create more jobs. They're just not able to do it. And
Eric,
something like minimum wage makes it that much harder.
Yeah, Eric, thank you for the call, John, and for your response. Sylvia, to you on what we've learned from the San Francisco experience.
Yeah, what we've learned is, $10.55 an hour. And by the way, as you said, the unemployment rate there is very, very low. The restaurant industry is booming. And there's no tip credit over in California.
Explain what that means.
We can't, a firm, a business, a restaurant can't use a worker's tips as credit towards their wage. So the federal tip credit, by the way, and this is, this is how powerful the restaurant lobby is. The federal tip credit is $2.13 an hour and has been so for 22 years. Without a change. We don't let that happen here in California, which is a good thing, because that would mean that the folks working in the restaurant industry, the servers, would be getting $2.13 an hour like they are in many, many other states. So we've shown that $10.55 an hour with health care has worked in San Francisco. The restaurant industry is absolutely booming, as is the economy compared to certainly the rest of California and many other parts of the U.S. And so this can be done. And it's a good model because we have to bring up the job quality as well as the wages of all low-wage workers.
Let me ask John something on a point that, Sylvia, you raised earlier and that came up from Nancy, our former shop owner from Berkeley, which is that part of the benefit of paying more, increasing the minimum wage, is that people have more money to spend, and that's a good thing for business because you're pumping more money back into the economy. John?
Well, actually, one of the other things that I was actually going to mention, I appreciate you raising that, is there is a sheer irony with this, again, is that if you're asking a small business owner who doesn't have much or cannot afford, because most of them are struggling now, and you add a new labor cost, they're going to be forced to do one of two things. It's either going to be paring back shifts or employees, or raising their prices. And the one thing that we point out is actually the minimum-waged employees are among the most patrons of those minimum-wage businesses themselves. You talk about restaurants, retail stores. Actually, it's quite the opposite. Minimum-wage employees, we've found, are the first casualties, not in terms of just being laid off and having their shifts pared back, but paying higher prices at those minimum wage establishments.
So you would disagree, Matt writes in, you would disagree with Matt's quote here, which is that Henry Ford believed that you had to pay his factory workers enough that they could buy his products. Would you disagree with that approach, John?
Oh, no, I would not disagree. I think we want to make sure that every small business owner can have the opportunity to pay their employees sufficient wages and certainly give them benefits. Again, what I'm trying to underscore also is what we hear from Main Street across the state and nation. They would like to be able to do more, but as long as we continue to impose new regulations, as Eric was pointing out, new taxes, new lawsuits that keep coming down the pike, they don't have the ability to create those jobs with good pay.
Just very briefly, Sylvia,
Just
very briefly, if you would, respond to the piling on question that John has made a couple of times, because we see these things intersected with all these other questions, whether it's health care or uncertainty about tax increases and all the rest, and that this is just one more one more instance of government sort of messing around and creating what is not for small business owners, a way in which they can understand and predict how they're going to be able to run their businesses.
Well, I have no idea, for instance, why all business, let alone small business, aren't on board to get the healthcare question off of the backs of employees, of employers. They should want that, because that is a problem. And, you know, all workers should have health care. Everybody should have health care. That's very basic. But, you know, one of the things not talked about is the positive things that happen once you increase the minimum wage. And we've shown in empirical research here, and again, we are publishing in top-tiered academic peer-reviewed journals, we're showing that turnover, which is a big problem for, especially in the restaurant industry, for instance, turnover is sometimes in excess of 100% at restaurants over the course of a year.
Let me
very
hold
costly.
You. I'm so sorry to interject. Yeah, I'm so sorry to interject, Sylvia, but I want to get in one more caller, and we're almost out of time. Then I'll come back to each of you for a last thought on these questions. But Vince is a small business owner, and I want to get one more business owner in before we have to wrap things up. Real briefly, Vince, please.
I have a small retail store in San Francisco. I have 5 employees. And the minimum wage issue doesn't affect me because I don't pay them minimum wage. I pay them over because my employers are so crucial. I wish I could pay them more. I am very grateful to the Healthy San Francisco program, which has most of them get their health care through Healthy San Francisco, and that's taken that off my back because I'm very concerned that these employees would move on to some other job that would provide them, you know, with health care, like a corporate job. So, I'm not concerned about minimum wage because I need to pay my employees more than that because I want them. I don't want that turnover.
Vince, thank you. Thank you for that. Last 30 seconds from each of you to make your sort of closing arguments on this question. Sylvia Allegretto first, please.
Well, we have to move beyond the disemployment effects because they're simply not there. There's a lot of room to move. The economy is expanding. Inequality and poverty are huge problems, which a modest increases in the minimum wage would help on both fronts.
And John Kapitek.
Well, small business owners and Californians right now are just continue to feel great uncertainty. Main Street is nowhere near recovering, and as long as we continue to increase labor costs, such as the minimum wage, and then add on to that regulations, health care, other things, small businesses are going to be finding it even that much more difficult to be able to hire. So a minimum wage, while perhaps with the best intentions, actually hurts the very people it aims to help.
John Kapitek, California Executive Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. John, thank you.
Thank you.
And Sylvia Allegretto, labor economist for the Institute for Research on Labor and Employment at the University of California, Berkeley. Sylvia Allegretto, thanks to you as well.
You're very welcome, Dave.
And sorry we had to squeeze so much in there and that I had to keep us moving along. We had a meteor that got in our way, and I suspect whether or not we have more meteors or not, we will continue to debate this question of the minimum wage. I want to thank you both for adding your perspectives on this interesting issue, which I'm sure we will come back to again in the future. This is Forum on KQED. I'm Dave Iverson.
Funds for the production of Forum are provided by the members of KQED Public Radio and the Germanicos Foundation and the Generosity Foundation, and by a generous gift from Jan Schrem and Maria Minetti Schrem, who believe that all people deserve access to education, information, and culture for a lifetime of exploration and learning.